I'm Camilla.
I am Hunter.
And I'm Kush. And this is
Malt.
And this is Malt. This is Malt.
Okay, so I think a good thing to start with is the Avatar live action. So
can we start off by just getting a, I guess not a show of hands, but just like a,
I am
a gauge as to, okay, who has watched or has seen a little or all or some of the Avatar live action show?
I haven't even seen the animated Avatar, so.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
You are.
I haven't seen the original show, haven't seen the live action, haven't seen the movie.
Okay, you don't watch live action or the movie, but
just watch the original.
Watch the original.
This is okay. So we keep
to be fair, Camilla, do you even have Netflix?
Not while at college because of the whole thing that Netflix did.
Oh yeah, nah, that's funny.
Like I could pirate it, but I'm also just busy.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other things on my priority list.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And this podcast was above it.
Mm-hmm. A great show. Great show. The fact you haven't watched it is awful.
Sounds like a you problem.
She's
okay. No, it sounds like a you problem, really.
This already is going off to a bad start. This is already going off just awfully.
I guess
we're going to have to cut it just like we have all the other
things. This is going to be like a 5-minute episode.
Okay. So I guess...
Because we have like 2 hours of footage. We just like cut like most of it.
So, I guess we'll just skip the Avatar live action then and go into more of a theoretical. So, there's going to be a Naruto live action movie.
Correct.
So, I just... Ishimoto sounds like he's chill with the director and stuff, and apparently is going to have input. I didn't know that, but I saw a quote of that. So, what's everyone's thoughts on, I guess... live-action adaptations. That's a bridge. And what do you think could work in live-action as an adaptation?
So, I think when it comes to live-action, the biggest important thing I feel is knowledge of the source material, regardless of whether or not you decide to stay faithful to it or not, as well as some kind of, like, stylistic choice, like, especially if it's something animated, because in a lot of, like, animated stuff, it tends to go, like, very much the things you couldn't do, like, in person. So you very much need to find a way to adapt all these kind of, like, art style-esque things to live action. Like, I haven't seen the, like, One Piece live action, but, like, the way they kind of translated, like, the whole, like, stretchy limbs into live action. Things like Scott Pilgrim, where they took these kind of, like, very, like, gamey-esque elements and converted those into something, like, things that you'd normally find, like, a comic book or a game into live action. Same thing with, like, the Sonic movie, the Detective Pikachu movie. I think, really, in order for something to be a good live-action adaptation of something that wasn't previously live-action, you need a good understanding of the source material so you can either make references to it or, like, just kind of understand it, regardless of if you're adapting the story or going your kind of own different path, and knowing how you're going to address these kind of, like, larger-than-life fantastical elements that are difficult to do, like, in person, and you need, like, computer graphics for.
I like almost 100% agree with that. The only reason I don't 100% agree, or well, I do agree, but I think it's more than just knowledge of source material. Because I think, like, yes, having knowledge of source material is really good, but I think the most important thing is having the original creator of whatever source material that is involved with the creation. I feel like the most prominent, like, example of that is the One Piece live action. It's like Oda was, like, directly in the production of that. And an example of how the creator wasn't involved, but they had a good understanding of the source material was the Avatar live action. And obviously, you guys are probably going to be like, what? No, it really didn't. And the reason I say it does, because they took a very obscure episode from the first season of the Northern Air Temple being, like, taken over by some Earth Kingdom, like, refugees. And they kept that in, but they merged it with Omashu. So they clearly had a very good understanding of the source material, but that can't just be it. Like, there's a reason the creators left that project, because there was such big creative differences. I feel like it would almost have to be, like, the creator would have to be in that in order for it to be good.
Okay, so I'll say I'm fine with differences and creative differences, because I do think if I'm watching a live-action adaptation of something, I want there to at least be something different, something to give me a purpose to watch it. My problem is when it comes to a disrespectful creative difference, or in the live-action Avatar, from everything I've seen, the first two episodes, the creative difference was there was, like, no character development, and half the stuff was just exposition dumps.
Right.
In which case, that's not really a creative difference as much as it's just bad writing.
I feel like that can come down to a creative difference, and that's why they left the show. The creators, they saw the writing, they're like, wow, this really sucks. And they just leave instead of putting in input. Again, I'm not entirely sure as to why they left the project. You know what? I'm going to Google it. Why they left
the project. They literally said creative differences.
Is that it?
I think that was it, because this came out, like, years ago that they left before there was much known about the project. So
that's
they probably couldn't legally say more due to NDAs.
Yeah.
So that's also why. I mean, creative differences is also just a vague term used for when you have an NDA and can't say why.
Yeah.
So,
I think I liked your question of what would we like to see in live action. So I actually want to see what you were thinking, because I feel like you had something in the canon ready to go.
Yeah, I actually do have I came up with a list of stuff earlier because I was like, it'd probably be better. So I guess for starters, I'll wrap that up. I'm okay with creative differences. I need a lot of respect to the source material. I come from being a fan of franchises like Transformers. I dabble in Ninja Turtles and stuff, where they are constantly rebooted and have the same story told in a new way. It keeps it faithful, but completely new. So, kind of like, I am okay with changes because it makes me want to watch it. And I understand the purpose of a live-action remake isn't always just because of the safety and money, although that is a huge consideration. It can also be maybe a show's really old and they want to spark new interests in it. And this is a good way to do it than just re-releasing it, which might not spark up as much attention. So, I do think there's a purpose to them, but I don't think it should be used like Dragon Ball Evolution or an Avatar movie, or arguably the Avatar show, which visually is gorgeous. I do want to say that from everything I've seen. One sec. I should probably get a glass of water.
Okay, so
you go on yours first.
I guess.
Or Camilla.
I mean, I guess one thing to add to you, Kush, about your kind of comment on the original creator is like that is like kind of what I meant with knowledge of the source material.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
What I really mean is like not necessarily like, oh, you watched every episode and you understand all the jokes. More of like, you know, from a very deep level how these characters and the world interact with each other.
Yeah. It's like, so you understand the world building a lot more. It's not just like, I watched every single episode, I know this little Easter egg. It's like, I know how this character got to where they were and how they were built up to that.
Yeah, you know, like, the tone of the series and various settings.
Yeah.
Like, how even, like, characters who, like, have never interacted with each other, how they would, because like you would have like a grasp on just how a character works.
Yeah, for sure.
And another thing like that is also difficult though, like kind of in exchange for live action, is you get into like actors, because there's only a certain number. There are a finite number of actors in the world. No matter how much of a character you have, sometimes you're just not always going to be able to find the perfect actor for them. So like, yeah, I guess also finding like an actor that can channel like a very samey or similar energy in their own kind of way. Or alternatively, finding the perfect actor for a role.
That's actually a great bridge for... I also think in that, something I think that both sides of a live-action adaptation, the people making it and the original creator of it, something, assuming they have any input, is they need to accept change of it, too. Because not everything is going to be functional in live-action.
Yeah.
So a great example would be an anime, they can make some... Naruto, for example, they can make some silly, exaggerated faces. That wouldn't work in a live-action adaptation. It wouldn't be funny like in the show. It would just be probably kind of cringe. So it's, both sides need to be willing to change while keeping respect to the source material, creator's input, what the people are trying to doing if a remake or adaptation. So on that, I guess you asked me before I got my water what I would like to see. One thing is, there are some things that I think could work easier than others. So, first off, I don't want to see the Disney live-action remakes anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think I should just get out what I don't want to see. It's at least not how they're being done. Because how they're being done doesn't feel like there's any effort put into it. Like, the One Piece live, and even, honestly, the Avatar one, which I didn't think was that good of a show from what I saw, but I felt like there was still more passion in it than the Aladdin movie.
Yeah, I agree.
So, it's... What I'd want to see is, one is a new live-action adaptation would be Dragon Ball, but specifically early Dragon Ball, before they got into Super Saiyans and stuff like that. I think that could be very interesting if he done well, because early Dragon Ball was much heavier, or I said that weird, but focused on martial arts.
Right.
And Goku and Krillin and all of them. So, and the Dragon Ball Evolution wasn't a good movie. So if they could, like, do that again, but more proper, another one I think could work would be, let's take a Western cartoon. How about an older one? I think Danny Phantom could work in live action.
Ooh.
I think...
Although, you
finished. No, go. Real quick, no, I'm so curious what you think.
I mean, so this isn't like necessarily related to Danny Phantom or like any of the series you mentioned in particular, but I'm kind of like thinking conversely that not everything really needs to have a live-action adaptation.
Right.
Because I think the whole concept of a live-action adaptation, I feel like, almost kind of undersells animation as this, oh, animation is just a kid's media. When, in reality, no, it's an art form and type of media that can accomplish things you really just can't get with other kinds of media. Like, you mentioned the, like, exaggerated faces of Naruto. Again, those kinds of, like, goofy, exaggerated faces aren't really something you can get with other types of media. There's a lot of kind of more, like, magical, like, mystical elements, like how you see in, like, a lot of anime and old Disney cartoons that, while yes, there are some CGI replacements for it, I feel like there's this weird stigma with animation that, oh, animation's for kids, and or it's not quite the same level as live-action stuff. And I get that I'm kind of deviating here from the original thing, but I guess it's just kind of like, I feel like there are some things that just honestly don't really need a live-action adaptation and work perfectly fine in the realm of animation.
So, Alva, I will say, I agree, not everything particularly needs a live-action adaptation. Avatar didn't need a live-action adaptation, but I do think there are pros to doing it, especially with an older property, of, for one thing, if you do a live-action of a TV show or an animation thing that not a lot of people originally clinged to, it could, in turn, bring more fans to the franchise and more fans to the animation and start to make people understand why animation is such a, like, foundational medium. So I do think there's definitely that. I also think there is starting to be a culture shift with that, personally, just looking at, like, box office numbers, and mainly due to things like Spider-Verse, of animation being seen as a bit older, too. I just think it's hard still, because admittedly, a big mainstay of animation in our culture was Disney.
Yeah.
It still is, but like, when I think 2D animation and stuff, Disney was huge for that. So, it's just sort of something that needs to keep going. But I agree not everything needs to a live-action adaptation. I don't think anything particularly needs a live-action adaptation. I do think it can be very helpful, though, for helping a brand grow by getting those people that wouldn't have considered it before. An example is, although I don't have disrespect towards animation, due to One Piece being so long, I wouldn't have considered it before the live-action one. But I was like, it's only like a little bit, so I can watch it. And now I am thinking about getting into maybe reading, maybe watching One Piece. I think reading would go by faster, we'll see. So that's one, that's a pro of it, but I agree in the sense of nothing needs a live-action adaptation, but it can be very helpful for a brand, and even I'd be willing to argue just getting people into animation.
Mm-hmm. So I guess kind of going back to the original topic, we had before of, like, what makes a live-action adaptation good, I guess, is just the fact that they're not making it live-action just for the sake of making it live-action. Like, making it live-action because, like, there's something that they want to do with it being live-action, and it's a property. It needs to be a property that could fit in live-action, because there's some things that just wouldn't fit in live-action.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, I also think, I can't believe I'm saying, so, I am a heavy Transformers fan, so before I say what I'm about to say, I really want to preface that I don't think the Michael Bay Transformers movies are good at all. I want to preface, this is actually the one thing I think live-action adaptation should take from the Michael Bay movies, is same universe, same concept to get it off the ground. Completely different stories, new characters, new character designs. That's something I think could work very well for live action. That's what I think they should do with the live action Naruto movie, because you can't fit any of the arcs properly into a movie. So I think just taking some simple concepts of the universe and making a new story is the way to go.
They also need to have Linkin Park in the ending.
True. Linkin Park is so good.
It's like at the end of, since obviously, like, literally every movie nowadays is trying to leave room for a sequel. So it's just like Naruto at the end of the movie is just like, I guess
what I've done.
It's like, it's like Naruto at the end of the movie would be looking off into the clouds, and it's just like, I guess this is my ninja way. What I've done.
I actually, that does kind of...
But black screen is the credits, as the credits start. Ah, yes.
I actually do think if I were to write the Naruto movie, I would kind of combine things. And to lead to a sequel, I'd probably end the first one with Naruto versus Sasuke and build the rest of the movies off of, you know, Naruto Shippuden, end of Naruto stuff. Like, maybe make a good reason for a live-action adaptation would also be to rework the story if there's something wrong with the original. One thing with Naruto you could do is make Orochimaru actually intimidating after, like, original Naruto and after a bit.
It was difficult to do that purely because the entire reason they do that is because they want Sasuke to appear more cunning.
Yeah, no, I'm not arguing that, but I am saying, like, you know, this is an opportunity to do something different and fix things, too. But back to what we'd want, I'll just finish it up. I think I said Danny Phantom and a retry at Dragon Ball. I guess if I wanted something else, something I'd be interested in, actually.
This podcast live action would be cool.
This podcast. Actually,
with cameras?
Yeah, that's
crazy.
It's coming soon.
Something that would be cool is Ninjago, actually, now that I think about it.
That was something I thought of at first. I'm sorry for kind of interrupting.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
That's something I thought of at first. However, Ninjago is kind of a series both so closely related to kind of Legos, and also, when you think about it, Ninjago has, like, just a ton of just goofy things that just would look awful in live action. Like, I'm sorry, Garbodon would look so bad in live action, I feel. Like...
Lord Garbodon in live action. That would be so awful.
Like Lord Garbodon, the snakes, I guess even like Zane being a robot, like though it seems cool on paper, you start to look at it and like it goes into the realm where so much would be CGI that it'd kind of be like, okay, what's kind of the point of it being live action?
I think a lot of Ninjago's charm comes with the Lego aesthetic as well, so I feel like live action, while it could be achieved and could be pretty well done, I don't think it could live up to what Ninjago already is.
Mm-hmm. Alternatively, like they did do a Ninjago live action movie. Get it? Because in the movie, they're rendered to look like real Legos. So technically, I'm not funny.
No, you're fine.
You're fine.
It's less of a funny thing and more like, oh my god, you're actually right.
No, I
didn't even think about that. I was like, wait.
Like if you think it's kind of CGI. It's kind of live action, kind of.
Let's see. Something I do think. I guess I'll lead off with something I think will benefit, and then I'll ask you guys a question of if there are any live actions that you want to be redone,
mm-hmm.
if there's anything you want, and something you think could benefit from it. So something I think could benefit from a live action remake would be, what's a show or something that, or a movie that I think like needs work?
I think another thing you should keep in mind is video game.
Video game is a good one, but you can do video game. I think something I could use it, you know, maybe not use work, maybe just to help the franchise. And in that case, I think take something, I'm admittedly not too passionate about it. I've never played the games, but if you took something older, like video game wise, like Mega Man or something like that, and tried to just try a different angle to go with. So I'm not saying that would be my choice.
We do have the comics to go off.
Yeah, you could do that. So I'm just thinking, because is Mega Man really that popular anymore? I haven't really seen it.
Not anymore.
I feel like he has kind of fallen out.
Like, I feel like after, like, 9, it started, like, falling off.
So I do feel like, in a sense, something big for the franchise, like a live-action movie or something, could benefit it, and you wouldn't need to use too much CGI either, because you could do a lot of practical with the costumes.
Right.
So, I do think something like taking an older franchise that might need a bit of a boost and making it a live
action like reviving movie it.
Yeah, like I think that could. A great example is Sonic. Sonic wasn't in a great spot before the movies, but currently Sonic is in a fantastic spot. Yeah. The best it's been in years, and honestly, possibly ever. So that's definitely a good thing. So I guess for you guys, what's something you think should be done again if it's been live action already? Something you want, and I guess a video game,
So this isn't. Sorry for kind of taking the reins again.
No, go ahead. I can't think of anything right now.
This isn't the most like. This is a very broad answer, but one thing I think could be really cool is just kind of like any kind of like isekai being made in live action, because it feels like it's been a long time since we've got any kind of like live action high fantasy kind of thing, because like the most I can think is like Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings. Yeah. We've gotten like a few of those like Game of Thrones-esque like spin-off shows.
I would just like to remind you all, the Mario Brothers movie is technically an isekai. Okay, get back to what you're
shut
doing.
Shut
up. Okay, no, okay, censor that.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. It's
right. But you know, I think it'd be interesting to have like a high fantasy story, especially one kind of taken from like a more like Eastern perspective rather than a like European / American Western kind of perspective.
Yeah. So in that, you have two other slots to fill, or you could pass it off to Kush over here. I say that as if I'm not like tons of miles away from you.
You're breaking the viewer immersion. You're breaking the immersion.
Yeah, I'm breaking the immersion.
You're breaking the immersion.
Yeah, but what do you mean? We're all here in the same room.
We're right next to each other.
Yeah.
We are. I'm currently putting my arm around Kush.
Yeah, and I'm asking him to get off because I don't feel comfortable.
He's asking me, but I'm not doing it. All right, yeah. So Kush.
Can you get your arm off, please?
Yeah, okay. I'll put it on Camilla. Okay.
Oh, it's just so heavy. My shoulder's being weighed down.
Okay. It's so heavy. I want to start with video games because I feel like I am very passionate about this. I feel like, I don't know what you guys' opinion on this, because I correct me if I'm wrong, but I haven't heard you guys talk about this ever. I think a Metroid movie would be so cool, especially given like we've seen what we can do in live action. We've seen that just with like creator input, you can make a really, really good movie. And I feel like with creator input for Metroid, I think it's more so just I want to see Ridley in live action.
I have to admit this, Fed. The most Metroid I've ever played is on, like, what is it? The Wiitopia or something like that?
Miitopia.
Yeah, Miitopia.
Miitopia had, Metroid stuff?
It did. Yeah, great. Beat all the levels with some friends and stuff. Fantastic. Loved it.
I still need to beat Miitopia.
Miitopia is... I understand why they didn't try to do it on the Switch, because they nailed it the first time. They shouldn't touch it again.
To be honest, Miitopia kind of feels like it's a game with a gimmick, and I feel like typically, like gimmicks you don't really do again. I feel.
Yeah, but this gimmick went hard.
true.
I guess. I'll add another category, because I meant to add this, but I misspoke and said video games, but we'll leave video games in, is a franchise you think could benefit from getting a live-action movie or something. Like, Mega Man was my example, of course. Okay, so, take the floor. I'll just sit. I am sitting, actually. I'm not gonna sit.
I think all of us are sitting.
I'm gonna stand.
Yeah, all of us are sitting.
Alright, you guys take the floor. I'm gonna sit. I'm currently standing.
You're all over the floor. How are we supposed to take it?
That is a good point. I'll get off the floor. I'll start levitating like Omni-Man.
Okay, here, let me grab it real quick. Okay.
Okay.
Actually, Camilla, I can't think of anything. Here's the floor.
Alright, you got anything?
It was big! And now he's small.
Is that Ant-Man? Oh, it's for Mickey Mouse.
It's Mortimer Mouse. What are you talking about?
Is that Ant-Man?
Yeah, well, he's saying
Ant-Man is the perfect counter for Mortimer Mouse. Ant-Man is the perfect counter for Mortimer Mouse.
Yeah. Okay, so got anything for... I can remind you of the categories if you want. Franchise you think would benefit, video game, anything. Oh, you already did anything, I guess, or something you'd want to see them try again. And you could also do a book adaptation, too. I'm not going to limit it to, like, anime or Jimmy Neutron.
Dude, Jimmy Neutron live action? That would be awesome.
Getting the Shadow Realm in live action would go so hard.
Hugh Neutron. Okay. Who would you cast as Hugh Neutron?
Honestly, just the original guy, honestly.
But I feel like, first off, we gotta find a way to make them fit those bizarre face shapes. So we gotta start with someone with a really long, out there chin. Like...
I got the Thanos guy.
Yeah.
The Thanos guy.
I'm sorry to anyone who hurt you with that sentence.
Oh, Josh Brolin.
But I guess this is kind of going back to kind of like what makes a live action adaptation good is kind of with everything. This is just with media in general, but with movies, there's always been this thing of like just throw in whatever star actor, regardless of if they fit the role or not, and like why do they do that? Like cast actually like good unknown actors, kind of like how the Scott Pilgrim movie did.
They didn't do that. They did have Chris Evans in that.
It's just a trend I've noticed with a lot of movies where they'll just cast whatever random big name they can manage to get their hands on and use it as marketing.
I think
Sorry for kind of interrupting, but I can explain like the business reason behind it.
I mean, it's because it gets more people interested.
It does. That is it. Now, should they choose people that fit the role too? Yes, but they do need that big name actor push a lot of the time, especially if it's something that might not work. Like Sonic wasn't in a great spot. They got Jim Carrey. That probably helped a lot of people. I know you got excited to see it because of Jim Carrey.
I love Jim Carrey's Eggman. They're so great.
All my homies love Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey's so funny.
I had no interest in the Minecraft movie, but I'm considering to see it now that I know Jack Black's gonna be in it. So, it's sort of like a thing of... I do completely agree, and I think not everyone should be someone famous. But when you can get someone with a big name in it alongside someone else that maybe is a veteran with this franchise, it can really help just boost the movie up. They should still be thought out, but it's a good choice. Like Charlie Day, I think, or Jack Black or something. Like they were good choices.
Like literally everyone but Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I understand your point. But I feel like everyone even Chris Pratt did like an okay job.
Yeah, no.
I think it's more so just like we see Chris Pratt over and over and over again. I think that gets so repetitive. But then you see like Jack Black. You see Jack Black. It's like, of course, this is going to be amazing. It's Jack Black.
Yeah.
I guess what I was really kind of thinking of when I said that was The Rock. Because like The Rock's in everything.
Okay.
No.
You made me think of something, but I'll save it for later. Go ahead.
He's not in everything. He needs a city or a jungle. And he needs to win. Those are his three qualifications. I think we're forgetting that. City, jungle, win.
Nah, I'd win. Oh my god, he can play Gojo. He can play Gojo.
I would hate a live action Jujutsu Kaisen. That would be so awful.
That's actually Wayne Barat, that's actually why Shazam 2, I forget if this is the actual reason, but I think they initially wanted to be Shazam versus Black Adam, but they couldn't do it because Dwayne The Rock Johnson's contract wouldn't let him lose to Shazam.
Is that real?
Yes. No, this is actually part of his contract. He is not allowed to lose, apparently.
That's a power move if I've ever seen. That's such a power move. It's like, hey,
No.
no, you made me lose. You gotta pay me more.
I can only think of him losing once, and that was the Scorpion King when he was just starting off as being an actor.
That was it. I think that was it.
That is it.
Now that I think about it, I don't think I've ever seen a situation where The Rock lost.
Yeah, no, The Rock. He consist that I like. I'm pretty sure it is legitimately part of his contract that he cannot lose, which is. I agree, a power move. It's just a really funny power move. But I guess going on, do you guys, so at besides just the concept of live action stuff, any actual like things you think could work for it in any of the categories I said?
Okay, this is
Which
kind of a joke, but I'm also kind of passionate. Okay, I'm just gonna get the stuff that I'm serious about out of the way. A Kirby movie, I think, would actually be really good.
I do think that, and I think in a sense that would help Kirby also.
I think Kirby's in a pretty good spot, but I agree it
No,
could help.
I think Kirby's in a respectable spot. It's not like Transformers was in a respectable spot when they got the live action movie, but it really pushed it to the fame it had. So I think Kirby is in a respectable spot, but if it got a movie, maybe it could help push it to like a more common audience.
Oh, I know
Although
how
I
to
think.
push it to more common audiences, and it's to
First off,
cast Kirby as the Rock, and
no.
no, the Rock as Kirby, and
Wait, hear
Kevin
me out.
Hart
Hear
as
me out.
King DDD.
It's a live action. They don't make Kirby look like Kirby. Kirby is Danny DeVito.
Well, that's just an interesting way of putting it.
I'm just saying. What if Kirby? Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Camilla has gone to the restroom
Yeah, I
for
know. Yeah.
viewers. No, I know you know. This is we're gonna have an audience, you see.
I guess if you wanna, you can expand on the Kirby, like maybe something you'd wanna see in it.
Okay, I have nothing else. I just think a Kirby live action would be cool.
Okay, well, yeah, any other things? Because
I
I
do.
don't know.
I think a I feel like they should redo the Avatar live action. Because I
I
feel
do.
like there are so many places that it could go perfectly, but they just don't. I feel
I
like
think.
if it was entirely up to the creators, which I don't think will ever happen, but if it is, then that would be ideal.
I will say I agree, but I
Uh-huh.
don't think it should be based off any avatar we've had. I think this would be a very good opportunity to do a previous or new avatar in the cycle,
Yeah,
and
like
then they don't.
maybe one of like
So that.
Turok.
Yeah, like, they don't have to. If they do a new avatar, an old avatar, then they don't have to limit themselves to the stories they presented,
Right.
which arguably is why the movie did turn out so awfully. Because they literally tried to put the whole first season in like hour, 20 minutes maybe. Was it even that long?
Hour
And
tw
again, that also kind of goes into like choosing the right IP, because like
Yeah, that's true.
again, and like how you adapt something, because you can't just be like, oh yeah, no, I'm just gonna adapt something, because especially when you move from, even if you go from a series to a series, it's still like you gotta make sure like you're not going too fast, because even if there is a lot of content to cover, sometimes you just gotta be like, you know, it's if there's so much to cover and you need it to be in a movie and things just wouldn't work if you weren't able to cram it all in, then maybe it's just not the best series. adapt.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just like, we're not going to be able to fit all of this into a movie. I think almost all of the time the answer is, don't make the movie.
Then don't make it a movie.
Well, actually, I think on an example of that, I actually really think The Eternals could have been good if it was a Disney Plus show.
I think a statement that only works for The Eternals.
Yeah.
That no one else would ever expect you to say ever. I agree with you. I completely agree with you.
Because they tried to introduce so many characters and so many ideas in a very brief time period. They should have, especially with Doctor Strange connecting to WandaVision so much, WandaVision should have been a movie and Eternals should have been a show. Or something like that. Or just no movie and just make Eternals a show.
Yeah, and I know this is my 12-episode anime brain talking, and I know Disney Plus shows normally do have, 6 episodes. They could have gone, the 12-episode route, given each character their own episode, then, episode 13, where it's, now that's the crossover with all of them. Right. Of course, a character would show up in other people's episodes, but it's, each episode would focus on each character, then at the end, it would kind of all come together. And if they still wanted to do that whole 6-episode thing, well, 2 characters per episode.
Yeah.
Maybe first half on one, second half another, or the 2 characters are just a pair for that episode.
That would also work really well because of how they were introduced in the movie. Most of the Eternals had a bond with another Eternal. Or even 2. So they really could have done, the first one could have had 3 characters in it. The second could have 2. Stuff like that.
Oh, you know what I completely forgot? What needs a live action is Metal Gear.
Ooh.
Oop. I think
Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
No, I completely agree.
Senator Armstrong.
I think that would actually make an incredible movie. Oh my god. No, they've done this as a movie before, but just retitle it an Among Us movie would go so hard. I gotta censor that. Honestly, that probably should be cut out.
Okay, so do we want to continue with this? Because I have tons of topics we could go over if we wanted.
I would actually like to kind of shift. What is something the opposite? A live action that you'd like to see made into a cartoon? The Scott Pilgrim
movie. I was actually about to suggest that.
The Scott Pilgrim movie being made into the to the TV show. Is there any opposite that you guys would like?
If there's a movie... So, if I had to do that, I would take... Does it have to be one-to-one with the movie, or can it add more?
It can be whatever you want, as long as it's just an adaptation the other way around.
What I would actually really like, because they're not doing it, they scrapped that plan, they're doing it a different Peter Parker. I'd like the Tom Holland Spider-Man. I'd like an animated TV show on Disney Plus going over his first year as Spider-Man.
Oh, Spider-Man freshman year.
No, that's actually not Tom Holland's Spider-Man. It's
That was the that was the plan.
That's being marketed as, so it'd be really weird to not have Tom Holland, or it'd be the Tom Holland version of Spider-Man.
Huh? What did you say?
So Spider-Man freshman year is basically being marketed as pre-homecoming. It'd be really weird for it to not be
Tom Holland Spider-Man or have. It already isn't. They confirmed it's not.
Really?
And yeah. I think they even changed the name.
Sounds right.
I can't find it, but I remember Doomblazer covering that they changed the name at some point.
Shout out to Doomblazer. We went to high school
He legit.
I go to college with that guy.
That's true.
Okay.
We can dox him so easily.
Freshman year has been renamed to Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man.
That's so...
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a fan of that name.
Because something I'm going to transition into is almost conversely, I don't want to see superhero movies would be at the very bottom of my to-get-animated list. Because I feel like we've just seen so many of them get animated.
That's completely fair.
There's just so many for all the main superheroes, it's like, I'd really prefer for some other kind of IP. And I feel like
they should with the whole Morbius
superhero genre, I feel like it's really, especially with like Western animation, like there might be an avenue with like an anime or something, but even then, I'd rather just not have that. Well, I guess just because superhero movie already, or superhero media already, is just really big.
Yeah.
As for what I would want to see.
Well, okay, can I?
Yeah.
I think it'd be really cool, because it's just a plot point that I don't want in a movie. Sort of like the same way a Superman or a Batman movie, if they want in-universe to go over the origin, make that a TV show or a book or something, because they're big enough. Everyone knows why Batman is Batman. Everybody knows his parents got murdered in an alley. So,
right,
it's that. So I just think going over Tom Holland, Spider-Man's origins would be good. Also, just some things that wouldn't have worked is they had an Osborn, and when it was still called freshman year, they did have an Osborn, which doesn't work. There's No Way Home set up that there isn't an Oscorp in this universe, at least not yet. And they also had an Uncle Ben, I think. And it seems Uncle Ben isn't part of this universe, and that Aunt May was single. So, but yeah, okay, go on. Go on.
I guess something that I think could be animated really interestingly, I guess, is one of those, is a kind of like more like laid back kind of like, not like superhero like magic and monsters, like it can have like fantastical elements. Like I still need to watch the movie, but I'm thinking something kind of like Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Ooh.
I feel like of what I've heard about it, like, could give very similar vibes to shows like, to animes like Erased, where Erased is this like really, it's basically just set in like a modern day city. The only like bit of kind of mystical to it is just the time travel.
Yeah.
So I think that could be something like really interesting, like with, I guess, something like Everything Everywhere All at Once, where it's like a more like down to earth. It's not like one of those big superhero movies where it's all about like the fights and action scenes.
It has the concepts though.
Yeah, and like they could even like take the animation to do something wackier with some of like the worlds they go to, I feel. That you can't really get in like a live action or kind of CGI-esque kind of thing.
That's given me an idea. Big Lebowski TV show. His couch or rug or whatever it is gets stolen again. And he has to go find it again.
But he gets superpowers and learns.
Yeah, this time it's an animation, so he becomes like the Avatar or something.
I'm laughing because I had the most cursed thought.
What, Big Lebowski?
Live action? No. Live action Captain Underpants.
That would go hard.
That's problematic for so many reasons that I don't have to say because you know the reasons.
No, why? No, tell me why.
What do you mean why?
Because one of the three main characters is literally walking around in nothing but his goddamn walking around in his underpants.
Okay.
Do you not see the problem with that? Do you not see the problem with that?
So you're telling me you would not watch a movie where Danny DeVito is flying around in his underpants with a cape?
No, I would not watch that.
Okay, so we have some differences in mindset here.
It's like, okay, I guess I messed up.
Kush, how about you?
You wanted to get off that so fast. I think something... This is, like, barely even something I want, and more so something that's just, like, it'd be kind of funny if this happened. Like, an animated, like a gritty animated, like, Breaking Bad would be so funny.
Okay, like...
I think that would take away Breaking Bad so much aside of the, like... theme and like the expression. Live action Megamind?
Yeah, and they get Will Ferrell back and just put a bunch of blue makeup on him this time.
No, no, so first of all, no, that'd be just awful.
I feel like that takes away from a lot of
an animated, an animated Breaking Bad, I think could be like, could be really cool, though they would definitely have to do a Scott Pilgrim where they have all the like, at least for the main cast, for like Walter and Jesse and everyone, have those original actors back.
Yeah, have the voice there, like at the very least.
But again, conversely, I feel like Breaking Bad is the kind of thing that I feel like they would also have to do a Scott Pilgrim, where I feel like they'd have to do something new, like do something that they didn't tell before.
Okay.
Like if Jesse died, if like it was their original idea of Jesse dying in the first season.
I haven't seen Breaking Bad, so I want to. Here's my pitch.
I haven't seen much of Breaking Bad either.
I thought you guys. I thought at least one of you finished it.
I started it.
I've never watched Breaking Bad actually.
Wow, you even said that.
Well, Mall Talk, Breaking Bad watch party.
There's way that would fly on YouTube.
Okay.
You know what watch party is, right?
Just us.
Where it's like. Yeah, where it's like just us, like we cut out the movie, and it's just like, it's like, oh yeah, this is the timestamp of the episode, so you can.
Well, we can talk about this later. Okay, so here's my pitch.
Well, that just seems kind of you're like trying to handle the podcast as a whole. It's just like, well, we can talk about that later. Here's something I want to talk about.
No, I'm saying I think it'd be better if we talked about what to do with the podcast, not in the podcast. Okay, moving on.
It's kind of goofy.
My pitch was, so if it animated Breaking Bad, it's based in the universe where instead of like cocaine or whatever, they're making those Doritos from the Super Bowl.
Popcorners, you mean?
The popcorners.
Okay, no right to be talking about that when you didn't even get the chip right. And I feel like that's a completely fair stance for me to take.
No, it 100% is.
No. Yeah, so I just think that'd be fun if they made popcorners instead.
Yeah,
whatever they made.
I think if they did reanimate it, that would actually go along with like a bit more of a goofy art style.
It's like SpongeBob's art style.
Yeah. Womp 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 womp. Jesse, where are the popcorners?
Okay. So. Let's see.
I feel like Camilla might want to talk about this. I'm not too passionate about this, but I've heard a lot of people talking about this as a possibility. One of the JoJo parts as a live action. Personally, I disagree.
Personally, yeah, I haven't watched it.
I feel like there's two kind of avenues for a JoJo live action. I feel like it could either be... It could go like how the One Piece live action did, because at the core, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is a very goofy series.
Yeah.
With a lot of elements that would require CGI.
Yeah.
So
especially like if they'd have to pull it.
They'd need to have like the mastery that they did with the One Piece live action, because it can go poorly very, very, very easily.
Yeah.
Okay, I just had an idea. You know what actually be really cool?
They did do a JoJo live action with Part 4.
They did?
Yeah, Part 4 is a live action adaptation.
JoJo Part 4 live action. Oh my god, I forgot about this. This was like 2017. Oh my god, this was so bad.
An idea I actually just thought of that I think could work is if Konami made like a VR or AR thing for Yu-Gi-Oh! And like linked it with a dual disc so you could play Yu-Gi-Oh! And see the monsters and made a live action adaptation of the show to go with it.
That would be so cool. That sounds so good. Like, even without the show aspect.
Well, I just think even just a movie, not a show, is what I meant to say. If they were to just do the original Yu-Gi-Oh! In live action as a movie, just to kind of promote the idea of everyone is seeing it and stuff, and it's all real-ish, I think that could be really cool. So, that is... There's actually some guy on YouTube that's trying to make its own AR or VR version of Yu-Gi-Oh!
I saw that, yeah.
Pretty cool. So, I imagine... The reason we haven't got it yet is because it would probably just cost a lot of money, like, and that's probably not something that's reasonable for, like, whatever their target audience is, like, 8 to 15-year-olds or something. So, I guess... Kush, you have anything? You have any ideas?
Of what to talk about ideas. Or just to expand?
To talk about or expand, because I have other ideas, but I don't want to push them, because I don't want to completely push the narrative if you guys want to talk about something.
I do have a kind of random question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
Favorite MCU movie and why? Or actually, I'll change to MCU project.
Wait, so yeah, no, I want to go with this. Do Spider-Verse movies count as MCU?
No, yeah. this is MCU.
Okay, then...
Spider-Verse is not
I actually have
MCU.
To think. That's a good question.
I know mine and Hunter's are pretty obvious, so I'm adding to Hunter's, like, you need to explain why.
Okay.
As well.
What do you think mine is, before I say it?
Iron Man 3.
Yes. Okay.
Really? So, I wasn't a huge fan of Iron Man 3.
Here are my reasons. First off, I have a lot of nostalgia for Iron Man 3. It was actually the first Iron Man, and maybe even the first MCU movie I ever saw. And I watched that thing a lot. Next off, I think it's severely underrated. I think it's actually a great movie that really delves into the depth of Tony as a character, at least at the time. It was a huge turning point. Where, like, if it wasn't for Iron Man 3, I don't think he would have sacrificed himself in Endgame. So, it was a huge turning point for him. I think it was very interesting. I will admit, I didn't like how they handled the Mandarin. I think it could have been a bit more comic accurate, but I did still like the villains and the movie. I like the idea of Tony's past coming back to bite him. I think that's a very good route to go of Tony Stark, and that they've done multiple times, because the whole point was he's becoming a better man than he was. He was a very flawed man.
Yeah.
So,
what are your thoughts on the common criticism of the villain just being a worse Justin Hammer from Iron Man 2?
So, I understand that. I get that. But I do... I like him for the fact that it feels like he got under Tony's skin a bit more. It feels like he was actually in control more. It's like Tony actually did seem like he was in trouble with it. Well, to be honest, the main villain of Iron Man 2 was Tony's heart.
Sorry, that's a really funny idea. The main villain is his heart. Yeah, so, you're right, to be fair. Like, you're right.
I think Aldrich Killian is better than just what I view Hammer as, just a rich rival of a similar company. Because there was the aspect of it really did feel like he's just here. Because Tony made him come here. Because Tony screwed up. And I like that perspective. Like, because I think the biggest draw of Iron Man is how flawed he is as a person. And all the mistakes he's made that he's trying to come back from. So, there's that. I also think...
You're also Iron Man, so it makes sense.
And conversely about that, I will say, I personally think... Justin Hammer is a better than Killian. Just taking a look at the two, comparing the two villains, because Though Hammer definitely has to share a spot with the other guy, what's his name? Whiplash?
Yeah, Whiplash, and don't forget, share a spot with Tony's heart conditions.
Mm-hmm. Compared to Killian, who just kind of had to share the spot with, like, the Mandarin. Even then, he kind of was the Mandarin, but anyways.
He was.
I think Hammer, first of all, has so much more charisma than Killian. Making him more entertaining to watch, and kind of going further on that, I feel like Justin Hammer is a better representation of Tony Stark is fighting who he was before. Hammer is pre-Iron Man 1 Tony Stark. He's this, okay, like, super charismatic, rich guy that really just doesn't care about anything but himself. Compared with Killian, who's more of, like, evil bad guy, I'm gonna ruin his life because he messed up before. Whereas Hammer is, I feel, is kind of more of a like character comparison of looking back on this is who Tony was before, and now Tony has to come face to face with someone who was who he was before.
I understand your perspective on it. I personally prefer, rather than him fighting someone that represents him, him finding someone that he screwed over and is just coming back to bite him. I do, because in a sense, that's also a beginning point of Iron Man 1. This was the last Iron Man movie. The first Iron Man movie started with Tony getting stuck in a cave because of who he was, selling weapons to terrorists. And then it ended with him confronting something he did in his past where he screwed someone over and they're coming to attack him. I also think I like how Aldrich Killian's end a bit better too, because I do like how Pepper was the one to kill him, because it's his own, he became so obsessed with messing with Tony, and that's what was his undoing, is when he went too far with his obsession. I also think it's just a very good movie for Tony handling his PTSD and finally overcoming the suit. Iron Man isn't the suit. He's Iron Man. And I really liked that aspect. I know, I understand why a lot of people wouldn't like it, because you saw a lot less of the suit in the movie. But I really liked seeing Tony, not Iron Man, be Iron Man, not, like, the suit.
I would just like to remind you that Tony Stark is Iron Man. He said that at the end of Iron Man 1.
He did, yeah.
I'd just like to remind you, just in case you forgot. Just in case you forgot.
One thing I do want to point out that you did, I did like how you said, is the whole Iron Man 3 definitely really kind of starts to set up the Iron Man we see in other movies, because Civil War is all about how he messed up in Sokovia, but I don't think he would have really reflected on Sokovia much without kind of Avengers 1 and then Iron Man 3 showing kind of who he was after Avengers 1. If those words make any sense, that just came out of my
mouth. I agree, yeah. Actually, that bridges me towards, this is still probably my favorite scene in all of the MCU movies, and honestly, all Marvel movies, including Spider-Verse and stuff, is the house party protocol, where he summons all his Iron Man suits to
That was a sick scene. That was sick.
That is, like, just my favorite Marvel scene. That is just, I know that's probably, it's most definitely a hot take, but, like, it's like the little Iron Man fanboy I was, and still now, that was just such a cool scene to see all 41, because 42 was late, Iron Man suits show up and, like, just fight and get to see their abilities and stuff. Also, I really liked the end. It's just showing Tony's development, where he was willing to give up the Iron Man suits and blow them all up for Pepper, to show that he truly come over from his bachelor, I don't care about these people lifestyle, to truly caring about Pepper more than anything else he did. So that's why I adore Iron Man 3. So I guess we have to go into Camilla's why. You have to explain too. Why do you like, is Ant-Man your favorite MCU movie?
Yeah, you got it. So first of all, similar kind of thing with you, where it was the first kind of MCU movie I really watched. I watched it like in theaters back when it first came out. I didn't even know it was an MCU movie. But it's, I don't know entirely how to say it, but it's like, it's a superhero movie where, like, a lot of other superhero movies have these, like, really big kind of scopes. Like, it's like, oh, this one guy who's, like, super rich, super powerful, been through a lot, where, or, like, they kind of...
What you're looking for
There's something grounded. Like miraculous.
Yeah. What you're looking for, a grounded movie, like a grounded street level kind of thing is what you're looking for, I think.
And like, Ant-Man, Scott Lang, he's just a guy. He's just a little guy. And
literally.
I love him for that. And
literally.
literally. It also doesn't really help that I've always been a fan of what I like to call like the art of the side character. Where kind of a cringy way of saying it, where I really like characters who are like, yeah, they're not. If you looked at things, they're not the main character. There's some other for example, like taking a look at, like The Hobbit, which I recently watched. The main character of The Hobbit, like Bilbo Baggins, he's just a guy from the countryside going along with like this like this like dwarf king. Who is like trying to like, go home and reclaim his lost throne? It's like, no, he's just. He's not this. Though he's the central focus of the movie, in the grand scheme of things, they're not really the main character. They're not the focus of the world. They're not really, like, I guess, the kind of gifted one.
Yeah.
And Ant-Man also kind of embodies that. Like, yeah, he's a superhero, but he's in this world of like other superheroes who have like much more like. Miraculous powers, who are much more smarter than him. Whereas he's just kind of a guy who can grow and shrink. And, like, a lot of people kind of, like, talk about MCU humor and how it sucks. But, like, MCU humor in the Spider-Man and Ant-Man movies, like, I'm sorry, they're just so good.
And Iron Man.
Yeah, Iron Man's also pretty good when it comes to, like, that kind of humor.
Okay, on that, if you don't mind me doing a bridge real quick, I think arguably... Like, probably the objective answer for at least, maybe not best, but, like, most changing movie is Iron Man. No movies we have today would be like they are if it wasn't for the first Iron Man movie.
Oh, yeah, the first Iron Man completely changed, like, the superhero genre.
Yeah, like...
I believe there's also, like, Christopher Nolan Batman were also thing.
Yeah. Nolan's was also the big one. That introduced the idea of doing the dark and gritty superhero rather than the more what people saw superheroes is what I think it did. So I think definitely, like, we wouldn't get Spider-Verse if it wasn't for, like, Iron Man or the Dark Knight trilogy. So. Yeah, but no, I do think Ant-Man's pretty. I like how you're going with the... I agree. I like the idea of grounded. I'm really hoping Spider-Man 4 is a grounded movie, like, more street level, and focusing on Peter, who, in reality, when you think of it, is a side character, in a sense. Because we know Peter as a main character, because he's, like, the most popular superhero of all time. But in reality, Spider-Man's not the main guy. That would be, like... No, probably literally anyone else.
Yeah, and that's something I've always like liked about the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies, because to be honest, I don't think I've seen the Andrew Garfield ones, and I've only seen like Spider-Man 1 or 2 of the Tobey Maguire ones, but
that's good. You watched
I think we watched we watched 2 together, didn't we?
Yeah, we watched 1 together.
Oh, yeah, no, anyways, we watched 1 together.
Yeah, like in the Tobey Maguire ones, like, it's, like, just Spider-Man. He is the main character. He's the main guy. Whereas, like, Tom Holland Spider-Man, like, not he's a kid in this world of, like, so many other superheroes, and then he gets superpowers, and he's, like, super, like, nerdy and geeky about it. And yeah. I think I've never really understood why people dislike the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies too much.
Nostalgia.
So much because, but, like, because, like, Tom Holland Spider-Man, this is how high school Spider-Man feels like. Just, like, a goofy, stupid kid who, like, has all these, like, references, like, oh my god, I know the super old movie! And then making all the other, like, adult superheroes feel old. Like, okay. I do at work when all the kids don't know about some random thing that I grew up with as a kid.
Okay, so I actually, expanding on that, I think Tom Holland is the best live-action Spider-Man, or at least the best movies for it. And I want to preface, first, I don't have nostalgia. I saw all the others before of Tom Holland's. Amazing Spider-Man 2 was actually my first PG-13 movie. Still remember that.
That's such a funny statement.
So, it is. I'm being dead serious. That was my first PG-13 movie.
I don't doubt that. I just think it's a funny statement to be like, my first PG-13 movie ever, Amazing Spider-Man 2. It was so bad, I was horrified.
But I do think, as someone who, first off, I think most of the Tom Holland hate comes from people who grew up with Tobey Maguire, and I think it's very apparent when you look at, like, a YouTube poll, and it's like, what's your favorite Spider-Man? And Tobey Maguire wins by a landslide, because everyone that's voting grew up with Tobey. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with having nostalgia for Tobey's Spider-Man. I think as someone who was in high school while I was watching the Tom movies, I could really relate, and it really felt like a high schooler was in it. Not just because Tobey Maguire looked like a 30-year-old going to high school, but for the writing felt like No Way Home takes a lot of its story does come from the fact that Peter is a dumb high schooler and made a dumb mistake. Same with Far From Home and even Homecoming. All of them are focused around him being an absolute moron and having to grow up and learn from those mistakes because he's a high schooler. He's like 16 to 18 in the movies. Obviously, I guess if you want to count when he's been alive, because he does have 5 extra years if you count when... Wait, was Ned snapped away? I just realized that. Was Ned snapped away?
I believe so, yes.
I think so, yeah.
I think so, because, like, you're still going to high school together. That would have been awkward.
You know a character we need to know more about? Luis! What happened to him?
What did happen to Luis?
We haven't seen him since... Ant-Man and the Wasp, meaning we don't know if he was snapped or not in Endgame.
No, he wasn't because, wait, I actually don't.
We don't know.
Yeah,
we really don't.
I think it's likely he got snapped since he never went to pick up the van.
I think that's probably
the van is technically his, I believe.
Yeah.
But I'm still salty he didn't show up at all in Quantumania.
Yeah, I mean... Well, okay, Quantumania did so bad. So everyone, like, at first thought the reason they're changing Avengers 5 from Kang Dynasty to something else is because of Jonathan Majors. No, apparently Disney was going to do this the second they got the results back from Quantumania. They were already being like, we're not doing Kang Dynasty anymore.
Yeah.
This movie flopped. So, and I do want to say, Quantumania isn't a great movie, but I had fun watching it. Was part of that I saw it with a friend? Yes. But it was a goofy, fun time, but it didn't do a good job as a movie, especially with Kang. It made him look like the most... My man lost to a ton of ants. So that tells me every single universe with the Avengers in it that he went to and beat, all of those Avengers are weaker than...
The ants are fearless, dude.
They are. Like, have you seen Aunt May? Fearless. That's absolutely
not exactly what you know what go off
absolutely my woman No, literally though, she invited a bunch of like super powered super villains into her home. No, yeah, that's
fair. She's just like,
she's just like, hey, come in here, and it's like they were wrecking her house, and she's like, what the hell, guys? I swear, whatever, it's fine.
Hunter.
I broke my rule. It's fine.
Now all of us are cursed once.
What the hell?
Okay, well, Kush broke.
Come on, guys. Screw. What the hell, guys? We're all cursed.
Okay. Well, to change topics a bit, I just want to do this. This is a brief thing. This isn't as much like conversation as much as just me spewing out facts. So, Yo-Kai Watch 5, possibly also known as Ghostcraft. I say possibly because it's all lining up with like what he said would be the next Yo-Kai Watch game and stuff. So,
it's Jover. We're never getting Yo-Kai Watch 4.
I'm not talking about 4, I'm talking about 5.
I know, but still.
They've trademarked it in the United States, for starters. So,
If Yo-Kai Watch 5 comes out before 4, will you still play 5?
Yes.
Phew. Though we still need to get you to play 2 and 3.
I've gotten other people at my college are trying to get me to play it.
Really?
First of all, introduce us to these people. Second of all, pardon my language.
Hey! Play
Yo-Kai Watch 2 and 3. Do it.
Not one.
Please. They're so good. Please.
Yeah. No, they are play it. Genuinely fantastic.
Is one not good?
One is one, good. It's just.
One's it's good. Really... It's just not as good as 2 and 3. And you also don't really need to understand 2 and 3. Since the start of 2, kind of retcons.
I like how both of you, immediately went on the Yo-Kai Watch thing, and we're just like, Kush, you gotta play Yo-Kai Watch, and completely forgot, weren't we still on the MCU thing?
Oh yeah, you still haven't given your movie yet.
Well, okay, but I just want to finish this up, so...
we'll get back 5. To it. We'll get back to it.
Level 5 is doing... It seems every game they make is going to be released all over the world all at once, which is like, thanks for catching up to the 21st century, guys. But it's... I think 4 will still happen, but I don't know at what level it'll happen. 5 is 100%. They've trademarked it. Everything they're making is doing that. I do think there's a high possibility. So I have to do some background for this. When Transformers Beast Wars came out in the 90s, it came out when Transformers was doing very bad as a franchise. Like, it might have not made it if it wasn't for Beast Wars. When they made the show, it wasn't Transformers Beast Wars. It was actually Beast Wars Transformers. So I am thinking it's possible they call this Ghostcraft Yo-Kai Watch or something like that and lean into a different name. So, because obviously Yo-Kai Watch didn't succeed in America. So, I do think that's possible that it is Yo-Kai Watch, but they rename it just to try to not make people remember that. Okay, so going on, Kush, what's your favorite Marvel movie or MCU movie?
Oh, I thought we were just moving up. Okay.
No, I had my thing, and then you reminded me that you didn't say anything. And I felt bad. So.
I'm gonna be honest. The more time that I've taken to, have the MCU set in my head, year after year after, Endgame, I'm just more and more the MCU isn't as good as I used to hype it up to be. But that doesn't...
Well, I don't know what you hyped it up to be, but I don't particularly agree.
I hyped it up to be, the best, the best universe of all superheroes. It's it is not.
I mean, really, your only competition is DC, so if you look at it like that.
No, I don't mean just cinematically. I mean in every superhero universe, there are so many better ones. I don't know why I hyped it up to that. But even with that, I still think Marvel had some really big hits, especially in the MCU. And that leads...
If you don't mind, I think the MCU is great. I'm not going to argue it's the best superhero thing ever.
I mean, they did release Black Widow. don't know. That movie was pretty good.
All I'm saying.
Remember when they had spoons?
The one scene in Black Widow that all people like point out as bad CGI. I'm sorry. That looks like a lab rat scene to me. That looks like a scene straight out of Lab Rats.
It looks like a Disney Channel show.
It does.
Okay, so Kush, now go on. Now that I've made my piece of, it's really good. Not the best superhero thing ever, but really good. Still, go on.
My favorite movie is Winter Soldier.
That's fair.
I think
completely fair. It's a banger.
I think
movie.
It is the best. Like, outside of like, obviously like.
There's nothing outside of it because you just said it's the best MCU movie.
I meant in terms of just Marvel overall. I was going to say outside of like Spider-Verse because that's my favorite, like, animated movie is Spider-Verse.
I like Into the Spider-Verse a lot. I'm going to be honest, I still like Across the Spider-Verse, but the more it sets in, I really think it was just pretty overhyped. Like, I don't think it works on its own. I think it really needs Beyond to come out to make it work. For me, at least.
I don't really agree with that. I think it's a perfectly good. Sure, it needs a sequel, but like Avengers Infinity War, it can stand perfectly on its own, in my opinion.
So here's my reason why I disagree: is the movie doesn't end properly. It doesn't have a proper ending. It just kind of stops.
To be fair, neither of them end properly.
Well. Infinity War ended with Thanos winning. And Across the Spider-Verse just ended with Miles meeting Miles, which is a great statement. I do love that statement. God, I love that.
It's a
great statement. Miles meeting Miles.
Isn't it?
Aren't
they just both cliffhangers?
Not really. Because Infinity War really wrapped up the story it was setting while Across the Spider-Verse has not wrapped up the story it was doing. Because it needs Beyond. Which is fair. I'm just saying that. So. Infinity War had its own separate story that it got to the end of it, the resolution. Across the Spider-Verse stopped at the climax. Honestly, the rising action.
I mean, I guess, yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's true.
It's not even that. It's just how the story is set up.
Yeah.
It doesn't take away. I still think it's a great movie. I just don't think it's near, like, Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah. I love silence.
So that's the best segment of the podcast so far. The silence, by the way, not anything else. So moving
crazy?
On.
I was crazy once.
Oh, dear God.
I would like to have a stern conversation with you and sit you down and be like, stop.
No, I don't want to have the talk. I don't want to have the talk.
This is a necessary talk. No, that's pretty much it. I guess moving on. My next thing would be, what's the bathroom situation for you guys? I have one in my dorm room. I have like one. It's right here.
I think we talked about this on stream before.
We have? Well, that's cool. What's the bathroom situation?
I have to go out into the hallway and just like a few steps down is the bathroom.
Is that a bathroom I see in the background of your screen, Camilla?
No, it's my roommate's side of the room.
No, I'm talking about the door. What's the door for?
Oh, that door? That's.
Yes.
That one. It took me like a few minutes just to orient my hand. That door is wardrobe, but we do have a bathroom in our own room.
Okay.
Although it's annoying because so I share this bathroom with the room next door, so it's like a suite bathroom. However, we don't, in exchange, we don't have a bathroom on the floor. So it's always infuriating when they're using the bathroom.
Yeah.
Whether for a bathroom or other whatever reasons. And it's like, I have to go. But they're using it. And likely will for the next, like, 30 minutes. So I have to, like, run all the way. Like, I have to, like, run down, like, 4 flights of stairs just to use the bathroom.
Oh, that's annoying. That is super annoying.
Yeah, that's annoying. So.
So, Hunter, you must have it really difficult, don't you?
Yeah.
You must have it very difficult for you.
I could go to the bathroom right now.
In theory, all of us could.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's nothing.
I could go to the bathroom right now as well. That doesn't mean anything.
Let's see. So moving on, I have a few more things, but do you guys have anything? Like, Kush, Camilla did one. How about you? You have any ideas of what we should talk about?
I mean, I think one of the things that I wanted to talk about really early into it, but then we got to the thing of, like, shows and their live action stuff. Yeah. I think the first thing I wanted to talk about, which I feel like should have been the first thing we talked about, is what is Maltok?
Oh,
This should have been, like, the very first point we went over, and then we were like, let's talk about live action shows.
I blame Hunter.
This doesn't. I can't just edit this. There's a whole thing of, like, continuity that just wouldn't.
So I think Maltok should just be us goofing around and talking about things we're interested or passionate about and really anything. And I think, in a sense, we've already demonstrated that by just, like, going off on, like, movies and adaptations and stuff. And, of course, the best one so far, Yo-Kai Watch 5, Ghostcraft. So, you know.
I don't know. To me, Maltok was just, like, the talks that we'd have while walking through the mall.
No, that's... Yeah, thank you, Camilla, for, like...
That's where it comes from.
Yeah.
And also being, like, a play on small talk.
I think I worded that kind of incorrectly and gave Hunter the idea that, like, oh, you should say what we are going to do, when instead it was, like, what does mall talk mean?
Yeah, no, you did. You asked for a definition, and I did give you one. I guess a synopsis would be better.
Anyways, going into what Maltok means, basically, us three, we are very close friends, us three. We are very...
Yeah,
I think not physically.
We went over this earlier, not physically. Right now, we are pretty far apart.
Hold on.
We already established this. Stop talking about it.
I am inedible. I don't know. Go on.
Basically... Us three, we are very close friends. We have known each other since, like, middle school. And what we've done in more recent years, now that we're older, is just when we used to live very close to each other, we would often just have a thing of, like, going to the mall together. And obviously, that's where the name Maltok comes from. That's where the inspiration of the kiosk comes from. It's all from the mall.
I'm going to use not this, but the thing before that for a segment. I guess everyone should know how we met. So I'll cover this. I got two of you, obviously. So I'll cover Kush, because Kush is easier. So in seventh grade, it was his birthday or something. I don't know. I saw, like, my friend, I think, to line up in a line to give him birthday gifts. And out of nowhere, and you got to understand, I was a very shy boy at the time. I just decided to get the confidence to wait in a line for, like, 8 minutes and give him air as a birthday present. And that really sparked it off. That set things in motion. So,
on that note, wow, you really were popular, having a whole, like, line of people.
The line consisted of, like, 6 people. But, you know, I there's someone behind me, so I actually took away from their time to get to you, too. All right, Camilla over here was technically when we were, like, kids went to like your birthday party, your third birthday party, but I forgot about you. I'm gonna be blunt.
Wow, I can't believe you don't remember.
I'm gonna be honest.
Any memories from when you were like a toddler?
Wow. I'm gonna be honest.
Oh, my fingers are so hurt.
Keeps telling me that I ate paint in kindergarten, and for the life of me, I can't remember it. And I just trust.
It's because you ate the paint.
It is probably because I ate the paint. That is probably why I can't remember it. But yeah, so I met Camilla in, I guess this is kind of personal. So it was middle school, sixth grade, we had PE together. We started to become friends. And then I was starting to like Beyblade at the time. And I got upset and like was pretty upset at home because no one was playing Beyblade with me. I felt lonely. Loser.
I'm sorry. I was picking a bit. I'm sorry. That was mean.
Okay. So moving on. So I brought up Camilla's name, and it's like, oh, you know them. And I was like, no, what? So searched it up on like Facebook, contacted, and then we hung out and played Beyblade. So that didn't last forever, but you know.
That's a really sad way of putting it. It's like that did not last forever.
The Beyblade part, not the friendship part.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. So you guys can go off now if you want.
I mean, you kind of did explain like pretty much everything. I think the only thing to explain is how Camilla and I met. And
yeah, that's what I
should be me. Was it through? I don't know if it was through Hunter or through just like.
It was not through Hunter because I
kind of friend group.
I knew that I think we met through. We're probably gonna have to censor so many names out, but I think we met through.
Perhaps, yeah.
Because I remember I was friends with you before I was friends with Hunter. We were friends in sixth grade, and Hunter and I were friends in seventh.
Hell yeah, I was first.
I was friend with in sixth grade, and...
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I think all three of us were good friends with...
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we need on here as a guest speaker.
I gotta invite him, man.
I'm just saying... You know, I gotta probably have him come to my place again, because it was fun when he came over. But you guys gotta come to Indiana. We got a lake, we got a house, we got an Xbox, and I got a cat.
I've got a car. I'd love to next time.
I got a rock.
I've also got a... I mean, I don't know what you said there, but I think it's best if I move on.
I got a rock.
Oh, Rock. I thought you said something else. Okay.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Oh my god.
If you guys don't remember how you met, it's not that big of a deal. But we can just establish you probably met through...
Yeah.
Yeah. I think... You might have actually liked Yo-Kai Watch at the same time as me. Like, we might have just had that. But I converted Camilla here. I converted...
And in turn, I got you into Pokemon.
You did. I still remember that. I remember my mom was not happy with that. Not that I got into Pokemon, but it was like we were having a sleepover like 2 weeks before Christmas.
No, you guys told me about
that. And then we went to GameStop. I got Yo-Kai Watch. Hunter got
Ultra Sun.
Pokemon. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I feel bad now.
I mean, look, it set things in motion.
Did you ever pay her back?
Oh, no, we each paid for him. Oh. Actually, I mean, you never did pay back for me. I'm gonna do like $40 now.
Okay. Yeah. So. Yeah, but the part was my mom just it was late, or it wasn't even that late. It was like 9, maybe 8, maybe even I think it was actually 7. I think it was 7 or something, but it was fair. Yeah. But we won. Yeah, so moving on, I guess, do you guys have anything else? Because I do have a segment I could move into.
I think we're like a bit over an hour right now.
Yeah, we are, but
do we want to keep going or call the podcast here?
I think
Now, yeah, we started hour 50 ago. No. We're almost at 2 hours.
Okay. No.
And also, none of us leave before the recording ends, so yes, that it doesn't delete itself.
And also, have to talk to you guys about something before that. But go ahead,
This is one of the main things I've been planning to talk about, and so we're talking about this before we end.
You can save it for a future one, though.
No, this is legitimately, the timing is now. The time is now, thanks to science. Okay, so, the Pokemon Presents. I just want to put, you guys don't have to say anything else. I want this in record. Today is the 24th. I've been thinking this for months. 24th of February, 2024. Thinking this for months. The next Pokemon game that's going to be revealed on the Pokemon Presents is a fusion of the Johto and Unova games into, like, one region.
That'd be so bad. No, that's going to be so bad.
All right, you can end the stream now. I don't like that. I don't like that response. Yeah, so that is exactly what I think it's going to be, and I'm very excited because I think they'll be fun. For starters, you get two towers in the... Yes, phone? Oh, my mom's calling me. I'll have to call her back after this is over. One sec, let me text her.
You're adding more that because she needs to edit out now.
That's not, it's just like, what can I do?
No, that's fair. That's fair. So I think that's probably a good place to end it. This was the Mall Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Kush, and have a good night.